الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والجنة للموحدين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق الله العظيم All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He shower His choicest of peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His family, His companions, and upon all those who tread His path till the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a comprehensive religion which teaches us everything which is related to our life. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul has taught us how to conduct a Muslim marriage life. So inshaAllah ta'ala, in today's khutbah, let us discuss about divorce and the reasons for divorce in our culture. So firstly, respected brothers, all of us need to bear it in mind that the entire world is a test for a Muslim. A person is wealthy, it's a test from Allah. A person is poor, it's a test from Allah. Children become a test for parents. A husband becomes a test for his wife. And so on and so forth. Different roles, different responsibilities, what we play. All these are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see who performs well, to reward them with Jannah. So when a person marries, he is taking up responsibilities which he didn't have before he said the word Qabiltu. Before that, he didn't have the role of being, he wasn't playing the role of a husband. He didn't play the role of a son-in-law, and different roles which comes after a marriage wasn't there in the individual just before he said Qabiltu Nikahaha. The moment he says those words, all those roles become part of his life. From then onwards, he is a son-in-law. Then onwards, he is a husband. Then onwards, he becomes a part of another family where he needs to conduct himself right. So respected brothers, moment a person gets married, responsibilities increase. That doesn't mean a person can say, I don't want to get married because I fear that my responsibilities will increase. It is un-Islamic for a person to say that. When you look at the hadith of the Prophet, we see he encouraged the Sahaba to marry. So marriage is part of our Sharia, which we need to encourage our youngsters to do it. But anyways, when it comes to the covenant, the pact, the pledge, the promise the husband makes at the time of nikah, the Quran mentions about this as Misaqan ghaliza, which means a strict covenant, a sacred promise, a binding promise was the promise which a man makes at the time of his marriage. It's not a normal, ordinary promise. In another verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses about the covenant which He made with the prophets, when He gave them the prophethood, the exact words are mentioned as Mithaqan Ghaliza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a strong covenant from the prophets that they have to fulfill their duties as prophets. The exact word is used when it comes to a marriage contract as well. So we see the severity of this contract is something which all of us, if we are married, have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and we need to answer the question, how did you fulfill your duty as a husband? And the same question will be posed to a wife, how did you fulfill your duty as a wife? So nobody can escape that. So when it comes to a marriage, respected brothers, it is like a cockpit in a plane. We have two pilots in the cockpit, but only one controls. Even though there are two pilots, both don't control, only one control. Only when there is a dire need, the other person will also take control, but with mutual understanding, with proper communication. Likewise is a marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man the strength to take care or to guide his family in the right direction. Ar-rijal qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. This is what the Quran says. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man that strength. Allah has given him certain qualities like bravery. When a person is brave, he can be the leader. Likewise, a man is courageous. When a person is courageous, he can take risks. And different qualities are inherent in man, which makes him suitable to be the captain of the family. But that doesn't mean that he needs to disregard his wife and he takes the entire control of life. When we take the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the captain at home. He was responsible for the decision making at home. But yet, when we look at the seerah, there were instances where he referred certain things to his spouses as well. All of us know the incident in Hudaybiyah, where the sahaba radiallahu anhum were disappointed when they were not allowed to enter Makkah. They have traveled 400 kilometers. They have traveled for weeks, and now when they are just few kilometers away from the Baitul Haram, and now the Quraysh of Makkah, they say, we cannot give you permission to do Umrah this year, you need to come the following year. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed to it. There was a pact which they had to sign. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed to it. But the majority of the Sahaba didn't like it. They were disappointed. Why did the Prophet of Allah agree to such a thing? Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his companions to shave their heads. Because we cannot perform Umrah this year, we need to shave our heads now and we have to depart. Sahaba didn't listen to him because they were emotionally, they couldn't control themselves. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also disappointed because there was no instance in his life where the Sahaba didn't listen to him. Most of the time they used to listen to him, in fact all the times. What did he do? He didn't refer to anyone, he went to his spouse, he went to his wife. Riwayat says, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. He goes to Ummu Salama radiallahu anha and he says, this is what I am facing. Do you have any input for this? Can you help me to solve this? How can I make my companions shave their head? Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she said, why don't you initiate it? Because your companions, if they see you shaving your head, they will automatically start doing it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did as his wife asked him to do, and within seconds, respected brothers, we see that the Sahaba, they were competing with one another, they were fighting with one another to shave their heads because they couldn't see the Prophet of Allah doing it. So who gave the input? It was the spouse of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a man is a captain, like a captain in the cockpit, but there is a co-pilot as well who will come at the times of necessity or in the time of emergency. But respected brothers, all of us need to bear it in mind, those who are married and who are yet to marry. Just as nobody can guarantee a flight without turbulence, there is no flight which will guarantee no turbulence. We are going to travel for the next 6 hours. All passengers, don't panic, we don't have turbulence on the way. Nobody says that. Turbulence will come on the way, but sometimes it's something risky, dangerous, which the passengers will have to face whether they like it or not, but sometimes it's a smooth flight. Likewise is the marriage life. There will be ups and downs, there will be turbulences in the marriage. But how we conduct ourselves at the time of turbulence is what matters. Going back to the pilots again, the captain and the co-pilot with him in the cockpit, when they experience turbulence, both of them are going to handle the situation very carefully. Imagine if the captain says, I don't want your support, you mind your own business, I know what I am doing. There is a chance that it is going to cost hundreds of lives. Likewise, in our life too, respected brothers, we have to expect turbulence in the marriage union, but how we handle it is what matters. But the saddest part today is, when turbulence happens in some families, what do youngsters do? What do husbands do? They think الرجال قوامون على النساء. Allah has given me the strength, the power to make decisions in life. I go ahead with a divorce. Let me file a case against this lady. I don't want to live with her. So he is the captain, he misuses the situation. He is not handling it right. But Allah forbid, the marriage ends up in a divorce. Even though the family takes part in reuniting them, outside support, counseling, nothing helps because the man has decided, I don't want to go ahead with this marriage. Being in the field of handling certain cases, respected brothers, whenever we handle a case referred to us by a qadi from the courts, the success rate of that particular case is less than 20%. The success rate of reuniting the couple, if they are referred to a counselor from the qazi courts, is less than 20%. Most of the time, either one of the parties, the husband or the wife, they have taken the decision to dissolve the marriage. No matter what input comes, they don't care. The decision is, I don't want to change, I want to give up, I want to terminate this entire marriage. So all of us need to bear it in mind that halal is the most hated permissible thing which Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A hadith in Ibn Majah. But once the divorce takes place, what next? What happens to the children? There are instances, the marriage is just 2 months old, a month old, 2 weeks old. Sometimes the wife is, she has conceived, and so many different scenarios come. But respected brothers, imagine a child wakes up in the morning, a little child, maybe 2-3 years old, and doesn't see the father next to him. What type of future will that child have? Just because a small misunderstanding between the couple, maybe he said this is right and she said no, this is right, the differences of opinion made that innocent child parentless. He lost the parents. Most of us, those who are grown up, who are elders here, we know when we were small, when we woke up in the morning, when we saw the faces of our parents, we gave salam to them. We go to our mother and we say, Assalamu alaikum. We have a cup of tea. Then it comes to the time of breakfast, the father comes, the mother comes, the siblings come, all sit together and have meals. But imagine, if a divorce takes place, where does that man go? Where do these children go? There are so many instances we see, children who have lost their fathers because of a divorce, when they reach grade 4 and 5, they start asking the question from their parents or the mother, where is my father? Because I see my friend's father is dropping her to school. Where is my father? How can a mother answer this question, brothers? Divorce, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it in the hands of the men. But we men need to think before implementing it, before carrying out. Divorce is like an emergency exit. But the saddest truth today is, some brothers use the divorce as the main exit. Divorce is like an emergency exit. The building is on fire. It's the time to use that exit. But the first resolve for the whole problem is, what youngsters today think sometimes, is terminate the marriage, I get married to somebody else. When we ask him the question, brother, do you think after this divorce, your life is going to be better than what you expect? Almost all the brothers say, I don't know about the future. But why don't you reconsider about reuniting with the spouse you have at present? How far are you sure that you are going to get married again? The laws of divorce in Sharia, on the fiqh of divorce, is a total different chapter. But as men, we need to think about this very seriously if we are thinking about it in our lives. Now, when it comes to the causes of divorce, I would like to mention a few in this khutbah. Inshallah ta'ala, in the future khutbahs to come, we'll discuss more causes, especially in this part of the country, in Colombo. Number one is, the foundation of the marriage is weak. I spoke to a qazi before the lecture, and when I was preparing for this, and he asked me to highlight on few points, which will be useful for all of us. He said, number one, the foundation of the marriage is weak, or it's un-Islamic. the foundation itself is not strong, how can we expect to build a structure on it? Leave alone the ground floor, the foundation itself is enough. If it is weak, a small flood is enough to destroy the whole thing. What I mean by the foundation is weak is, number one, there are so many marriages which are taking place. All of us know a marriage is not valid without a wali. But this is for the sisters. But as parents, we also need to bear this in mind. There are some instances, there are our women folk who force their fathers to get themselves married to whom they want. Now, the innocent father, he's helpless. He's forced by his daughter, and the daughter threatens the father saying, if you don't do this nikah, I know other ways to do it. Now this innocent man, who has been in society for so long, for 18, 20 years with respect, with honor, who has looked up in society, he thinks, what if my daughter elopes with this man? It's better I do this nikah and keep everything silent, let them marry. If they want, let them live. If they want, let them separate. That's not my problem. The father is forced to conduct the nikah. He has to stand as a wali. The parents are not happy at all about the marriage. So this is something which we need to educate our sisters as well. But as parents, if such situations happen, we need to see what was the root cause for this. There are some instances we sent our young women folk outside the house without mahram. They were educated in schools where they were freely mixing with the opposite gender. After doing all that, when the daughter comes, when she's 20 or 18, I want to get married to so and so. And now the father tries to pull the strings, the daughter is not ready to listen to the father. Sometimes parents too have a responsibility. They also play a part in these cases. But we request the daughters not to do this to their parents. Without the blessings of the parents, the marriage is not going to be successful. So the parents are forced, number one. Number two, when it comes to the weakness of the foundation, there is no wali. This is the second level, where the daughters try to force the parents, the father, you have to stand as wali. The father refuses. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. And then the daughter decides, okay, let me elope. So they elope. There are cases, the nikah took place after 1 year, when they were after the elope took place. What do they do after some time? Without a wali, the nikah takes place, which is 100% haram. The foundation is in haram. How can we expect that marriage to last? The blessing of the parents are not there. The blessing of Allah is not there. The blessing of Rasul is not there. How can we expect that marriage to last? Within few years, there are so many cases we have come across where the marriage was, the base was a love affair, and the marriage dissolves within few years, sometimes within a few decades. 15 years, after 20 years, when they come for counseling, they say, I didn't like her from day one, but I wanted to try, but now it's not working, I want to dissolve the marriage. No blessing. Number three, and the weakness of marriage is, men lie about the mahar. Men lie about the mahar. They prescribe a mahar. They say, okay, I'm ready to pay this much. But they don't pay it. The innocent girl trusts the husband, or the innocent in-laws, they trust this man. He said, I'm going to pay 200,000 as mahar, but it was a deferred payment. And when there is turbulence in the marriage, now he thinks, alhamdulillah, I'm seeing signs early. I need not pay the mahar. Because of the promise mahar wasn't paid, there are so many marriages which are ending up in divorce. Number four, this too is for the brothers. There are some brothers who register their marriage mentioning that they are single, they are not married yet. In reality, they are previously married. They register the marriage saying we are single, but in reality they have already got one wife. So this is their second nikah. Why does a brother need to cheat and lie? If they are genuine, it's easy, but they don't want to do that. They hide the truth and they speak the lies. And if the marriage is based on lies, if it is built on that lies, on that foundation of haram, Allahu A'lam, with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will come to that marriage. This is certain some points with regard to the foundation of the marriage. The second cause for divorce is the lack of piety in the partners. Lack of piety. Now, this is something which generally is highlighted in all the nikah bayans. All of us must have memorized the hadith too. Fadfar bidhati deen. Give preference to a man who is religious and you will be successful. This hadith has been memorized by almost all the gents who attend the nikah bayan. But respected brothers, this quality is something which a person needs to see before the marriage and also while in the marriage. A pious boy, he thinks, Alhamdulillah, I am pious today. I get married. After some time, his level of spirituality drops. Now he thinks, you know, I am religious. He thinks he's religious, but in reality, he's not religious. What I mean by that is, the couple starts to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their private life. There was a brother who came to us and he said, I took my wife to cinema. After he got, end of the month, he had a good wholesome lump sum of money. He took his wife on an outing and he made it a point to take her to the cinema. After he was a religious boy, but his wife forced him to do it. But after he returned, he said to his wife, next time we'll go out but not to the cinema. He's already broken the policy which he had in life in front of the wife. And she said, come on, let's consider that. Because already you are a person who is religious, you never win. But when I spoke to you once, you wanted to make me happy, you have done it for me. So why don't you do it for the next time as well? There was another brother who said he had told his wife that he used to consume alcohol. But when it come, in the real life, after marriage, there was a situation. He wanted to refrain from drinking. But his wife said, you are a person who used to drink, right? Why don't you do it right now? Wife wanted the husband to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are various examples where a couple will unite to disobey Allah. Not only the couple, when it comes to the individual life of a person too, if he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bond between him and his wife breaks, or they both of them become distant from each other. What generally we think is, if two people are going in one vehicle, maybe the vehicle is very expensive, the poor man looks at the car and he thinks, this is the dream marriage I was expecting, but I don't have it. But respected brothers, that definition is wrong. Love is not uniting or bringing two bodies together. Love is when two hearts meet together. When disobedience of Allah is in the marriage, hearts don't meet, bodies might meet. If hearts don't meet, that is, the marriage is not going to be for too long. A time will come, both will take two different lanes, and that's the time they want to divorce. When we look at the Salafun as-Salih, they used to say, "Inni la'asi Allah fa'ara dhalika fi khuluqi dabbati wa mra'ati." Whenever I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I used to see the attitude of my wife and my animal change because of my disobedience. Because of the disobedience, I see my wife is not listening to me. Wife disobeys Allah, husband is not listening to her. So respected brothers, this is a point which we need to elaborate further. But in short, let us all take the points which was mentioned into consideration and become better people. We need to become pious. By becoming pious, inshaAllah ta'ala, the hearts will unite and the joy, the happiness, the bliss which is in that family union cannot be expressed by words. Sometimes some of us who are in this gathering might be thinking of a divorce, might be thinking of separating. But respected brothers, whether we are planning to divorce or not, let us do one activity. One easy thing which all of us can practice, whether we want, we have that intention or not. We are living happily with our spouse. To strengthen the bond between our spouse and us, let us go home today and ask our spouse to write 10 things what I have done for you, which you loved in the recent past. We don't have, communication is another khutbah, inshallah, we'll discuss on that. But let us ask them to write 10 things what we have done to them, which they like the most, and we can repeat the same act again, by which inshallah ta'ala, the anger, the hatred, the enmity, all this will be gone in our marriage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the correct understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our marriages. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the hearts of between the husbands and wife. Wa akhir da'wa ya anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.